we're so used to seeing things that, in my opinion, aren't quite right in our treatment of animals.
Yeah, the less we eat, the less violence is being done, and the less destruction to the environment.
Everyone eats, and everyone has to make a moral decision every time that we sit down to the table.
Welcome to the Animal Voices Radio Show, Western Canada's only radio program on animal advocacy and compassionate living. This is 100.5 FM Co-op Radio CFRO in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Today is Friday, September the 23rd, 2016. I am your host, Allison Cole, and I am joined here today by our co-host, Caroline Carnery.
Hello there.
Our guest co-host, Sinead Sanders.
Hello.
And Shauna Smith.
Hi there.
And Daniela Reiser is joining us today, too. Hey,
hi.
Daniela.
Hi.
And we also have Bernie Huber here in the studio. So on today's show, we will be sharing vegan stories. And I think it's always inspiring to learn the pathways that different people have taken in their lives to get to the place where they are living a life of compassion for the animals and for the planet. And today we'll be having our guest co-host Sinead and Shauna share with us some of their stories of their journeys towards veganism. There's also a new film that came out this year called Vegan Everyday Stories, and we'll be sharing a review of this film as well. We will also have with us here Bernie Huber and Daniela Reiser, who are the duo that make up Social Changemakers, a local group in Vancouver that we have featured on the show before. They will be telling us about their latest project in initiating a fundraising campaign with the intention of printing and distributing 10,000 brochures to help educate people on their food choices with Thanksgiving and then the holidays coming up. But first, I want to talk to you, Caroline. You, as an individual activist, have created something that is quite useful to you in your daily life when you are just out in the world talking to people. Tell us what you have created.
Well, I've created a business card. And let me tell you about that. Because when I was a lawyer, and then subsequently when I was a legal recruiter, I had a business card. And it was my calling card, and I carried it in my wallet, and I carried them in my briefcase, and I gave them out liberally to advertise my brand and my services. And so today, my business is animal rights activism. And I know that a business card usually connotes some kind of merchandise for sale or commerce or trade. But what I have to say about that is that I am trading in vital information. I deal in the truth. So if people will give me their ear and time, I'll give you the facts. And it finally dawned on me that I needed a calling card for just that. I mean, from the moment I get up in the morning and have my coffee while I'm still in my pajamas to, you know, my time at the grocery store or the movie theater or in the dog park, I'm an animal rights activist and a vegan activist. So I needed a way to be able to leave a remnant of that information with people so that they would be able to know what my services were and know what the animal issues are.
So tell us what's on your business cards and exactly what kinds of conversations have you engaged with people where you then say, here, have my card, and then sort of tell them what's on it.
Before I tell you that, can I just briefly tell you the story of how this really came to life for
yeah.
me? Because, I mean, how many of us, have scrambled around looking for a napkin to write the words forks over knives on, or a TED talk on, or a scrap of paper. And I was out shopping for shoes at the mall in Burnaby. And I asked about the vegan shoes, the non-leather shoes, and there was one pair in the whole store. And so I was trying them on, and the woman contorted her face and looked at me and said, now, why in the world would you want a non-leather shoe? And, of course, thank you for the opening. Why, thank you for asking. And I launched into my, regular information basically about the animals and how I didn't want to contribute to the suffering of animals and how we could do better. And so when it came to the part where I had to write down the information about the films I would have liked her to watch, I had no paper, she had no paper, and my cell phone was dead, so I couldn't even send her a text.
And if you say watch Earthlings, they're not going to remember.
That's right. So I went up to the till and I got the cashier to spit out a little piece of paper from the cash register. And so I was writing on it. And if you know anything about that paper, it's quite slippery. So, and if you've seen my handwriting, that's always bad. So I left feeling that I had given this, this subpar effort for the animals. And I thought, I need to dial this up a bit. I need to be more professional about this. And even if she wanted to watch the film Earthlings, which I had written down, would she be able to read my writing? So the card was born. I came home that night and I wrote what I wanted on the card. And then my partner, and so I'll get to your question now, Allison. My partner had taken this really beautiful picture of our dogs and with whom we live. And he used the application Prism to turn it into a cartoon. So in fact, the Prime dog looks
artwork. I would say
it's artwork.
It looks like gorgeous, avant-garde artwork, yeah. Like Picasso.
Doesn't he look like a superhero dog here? And I thought that would be very appropriate. So on the front, I have my superhero Yorkie rescue, and my name and my phone number and my personal email. So this is my personal information. So I'm inviting people to call me. On the back, I've written the films that I feel have diversity in them and are, most impactful to people, although there are so many more, and this was a very hard choice. So on the back, I wrote Forks Over Knives, available on Netflix, Cowspiracy, also on Netflix, Earthlings on YouTube, Racing Extinctions on iTunes or Amazon, Beyond Carnism, which is a TED Talk by Melanie Joy, and then Animal Voices Radio, because I'm always talking up our show here at the station. And so on the front, it's glossy, and on the back, remembering my cash register paper experience, I made that non-glossy so that I could write additional information on for people. And I give it out. I give it, first of all, I was just giving it out to people who I was talking to about animal rights and veganism. Now I just give it out to everyone.
You told me you've given it out to over 100 people.
Yeah, I gave it out to over 100 people at Burning Man a couple of weeks ago. No, that was my calling card. And we were at Burning Man and we were giving out vegan sausages and banana smoothies and plant-based soap from David Isbister. And, a lot of people expressed, surprise and interest in these products. And for those who particularly did, I gave them a card. And I said, we're going to have a vegan camp next year. So we're going to talk about that on a later show, I'm sure. So, I had 500 made and they cost $61. And if you don't know how to pull this kind of thing together, they'll do it for you. So if you have a picture and a few words, certainly you don't have to put your personal contact information on it. I made a decision that I want people to be able to call me. I find that a lot of people who watch Earthlings have experienced a trauma. That's a trauma.
Yeah. And there needs to be some kind of follow-up and aftercare.
Exactly. There needs to be aftercare. Yeah. There needs to be a debriefing over that.
So you say, watch the movies in the back and then call me.
Well, what I try to do is, if I have a few minutes, Allison, is I try to get a sense of where that person is. Mm-hmm. If they are really excited about health and nutrition and the way they look, I talk to them about forks and over knives first. If they're really an environmentalist, I talk to them about Cowspiracy and Racing Extinction. And and if they're in deep denial, then Melanie Joy goes to the top of the list. So what I do is I'll actually just put a little dot or an X beside the film I think that would appeal to that person first. And I used to really go in with the big guns. I always used to be watch Earthlings no matter what. I don't do that anymore. And I particularly don't do it with people who cringe and cover their head or their eyes or their ears when I'm talking about it. And I used to think, oh, that person is sensitive. I'm going to lay Earthlings on them. Mm-hmm. And you know something? It's those people who won't watch Earthlings because they think it's going to break their heart or it's too horrible to watch. So I actually go in with Forks Over Knives or Cowspiracy, which are non-graphic, or Racing Extinction, which is non-graphic, or maybe the TED Talk. And, you know, when I was in second year university, we had this course on motivation, and we learned about successive approximations, which is if you want somebody to do something big, you don't go to the big thing first. You go to the small thing first and ask them to do that. And if they can do that small thing, then later you can talk to them about the big thing. And I was talking about to our local activist and lawyer, Anna Pippas, about that. And I was talking about this heady construct called successive approximations. And she said, well, Caroline, I call that getting my foot in the door. You know, the thin edge of the wedge, right? Just, you know.
You know, the human mind is such a, what's the word I'm looking for? It's malleable and it's not predictable necessarily. Different people think in different ways, and therefore we need different approaches. And you've got all the pertinent links and videos and films and that to watch on your card. So whatever, I'm sure you probably circle, like, watch this one first, right?
I do. Well, again, yeah. I try to suss out, if I have the time, what might appeal to that person.
Yes.
And then I go with that, or I say, watch this first and then watch this second. I try to give them a little bit of an itinerary, a program or a syllabus, so to speak. But we have this on our website, right? So people, I say, go copy it.
If people want to see a visual of what we are talking about, I have posted it on our website at animalvoices.org in the show notes for today. And you can go on there and check it out. And when Caroline was saying, like, it's easy to do, like, I think what you mean is there's various printing services. Like, I do business cards at vistaprint.ca. Mm-hmm. They're super cheap and you can use templates. It's really easy to do. So, and then there's lots of other services like that as well.
Yeah, you just fill in the information.
It's not complicated. Go look on our site and you can see she's got this beautiful photo of her her dog artwork and her contact info. And then on the other side are the links, and you've got the films there that you were mentioning.
Yes. And also people could do a stamp. So let's say they have a business card, but they want to repurpose some of those for the, you know, for in the dog park, for when they see somebody wearing their Canada Goose jacket or something like that. And so you can go to Staples and have a stamp made with whatever information you want on, and you can stamp the back of your business card should you have them. And so you don't even have to go, into making a whole new card.
Well, I know I, for one, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to do that myself. I do give out my Animal Voices business cards, but I like the idea of those film links. And it's an easy way when you're just, as you said, like you ran into someone at a store. Things happen sometimes and you have these conversations and then you think, oh, I'm never going to see this person again. What can I leave them with? Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I'm personally going to do that, and I will report back. And thanks for sharing that activism with us that you have taken on your initiative.
Oh, that was my pleasure. My pleasure.
Every weekday from 7 to 8 a.m., Media Mornings brings you independent news and culture you won't hear anywhere else.
Daily headlines, interviews, countless local voices, and our Latin America report help you make sense of today's news, from Coast Salish territories to global affairs.
Guests include David Suzuki.
Media become hostages of the corporate agenda, and thank God for the independents like you.
Indigenous activists like Pam Palmater.
This kind of radio show helps inform Indigenous and non-Indigenous people and hopefully inspire our Indigenous citizens to take action.
Social justice advocates like Maude Barlow.
We continue to be America's gas tank, although now we want to be the gas tank for the world.
Artists like Kenny Starr.
Change is created by lots of different types of activists.
Ray Spoon.
Gender is limiting and affecting everyone.
And authors like Michael Parenti.
The state is at the service of these corporations.
So tune in to Media Mornings, weekdays 7 to 8 a.m.
on Vancouver Co-op Radio 100.5 FM and podcasting at w2media.ca.
All right, so we've got a few events today. The first one that we'll talk about is happening tomorrow. We actually discussed this last week. Tomorrow is the Mardi Gras for elephants and rhinos, which is a march in some cities, and in this case it's sort of a rally. It happens tomorrow from noon until 1:30 at Creekside Park, which is right next to Science World. And this is a family-friendly event. There's live music and crafts and speakers, and it's free, and it just sounds like a really good time. So, go check it out and learn something about all these issues facing elephants and rhinos. We're losing them way too quickly, and Some of the speakers are going to be really great too. They're going to have Patricia Sims there, who we actually interviewed here on the show last week. She's a filmmaker and co-founder of World Elephant Day. She just made the film When Elephants Were Young, which is a great documentary. Go check that out. And if you're not in Vancouver, then go to their website, March4ElephantsAndRhinos.org. And last year, there were events in over 130 cities around the world. So by all means, check it out. And I think, Shauna, you've got a few more events for us.
On Thursday the 29th, Sea Shepherd is presenting Salmon Confidential Screening. So you can find that at Eternal Abundance on the 29th at 8 o'clock. Salmon Confidential is a 2013 film on the government cover-up of what it is killing BC wild salmon. The film documents biologist Alexandra Morton's journey as she attempts to overcome government and industry roadblocks thrown in her path and works to bring critical information to the public in time to save BC's wild salmon. Dr. Morton will also join Eternal Abundance after the film via Skype, along with the local Sea Shepherd campaigner, Katia Walther. Seating is limited, however, so first come, first serve at the door. Entry is by donation, minimum $10 donation. And all proceeds for the door at the door will go to support Dr. Morton in her continued efforts to save BC wild salmon. The next one will be on October 1st and 2nd. It's the Worldwide Vegan Chalk Bomb. So you can join the cause that's coordinated worldwide to help spread the vegan message. You can do this with friends or by yourself. No matter where you are, you can be a part of this movement. Chalktivism is an opportunity for us to reach people in an unexpected and engaging way. The best part, aside from helping animals, is that it's easy and it's fun. Last the event had over 1,600 people sign up, and they need your help to make this one even bigger. The idea is simple. You just buy chalk. You can get it at Walmart, Crayola, Sidewalk Chalk for about $5, or you can order on Amazon. You need to write a positive vegan message in a public space and post pictures of your message on social media with the hashtag Vegan Chalk Challenge.
Daniela and Bernie are organizing this. Did you want to say anything, Daniela, in addition? Any other info?
Yeah, there's an event page that's called the Vegan Chalk Challenge Vancouver. So you can go on there. Last time we had a group come, and then we took different locations, and people responded really well. We actually had people show up to the March to Close All Slaughterhouses and the Earthling screening because they saw the chalk message in front of the art gallery.
Thank you.
And the last event that we'll be talking about today is the Compassion is Not a Crime protest. It's going to be on October 3rd, so please join them in support of the rights of pigs to be treated as individuals and not property. Toronto Pig Saves Anita Krantz trial continues on October 3rd and will continue on November 1st and 10th for two additional trial dates. Anita was charged with a criminal mischief and interference with property in connection with an incident on June 22nd, 2015 at a vigil in Burlington, Ontario. They will be standing outside Vancouver's courthouse to show our support and solidarity with Anita and all the millions of pigs, cows, chickens, and other farmed animals that suffer and are killed needlessly every day. And that's events.
If you have an animal-friendly event that you would like to have announced on the show, please send us an email at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com or post it on our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver.
You are listening to Animal Voices on Vancouver's Co-op Radio, 100.5 FM CFRO. 100% listener-sponsored radio broadcasting live from the east side on unceded Coast Salish territories.
So we are joined here today by Bernie Huber and Daniela Reiser, who are the duo that make up the local group called Social Changemakers. We're so happy to have you here today, Daniela and Bernie. You're going to tell us about some of your coming outreach events. Sinead, you have a question.
Yeah, I was wondering if you could just explain to us, you know, a little bit about what you've got going on and how you got started. I've seen your pamphlets and they look great. And so what inspired you to get all this going?
So yeah, we try to create pamphlets or brochures that are inviting for people to take. So we did not include gory pictures. So we just included instead high conceptualized images of dogs on a, or cats on a plate, and a turkey with a dog head to point out, to bring up the issue of speciesism that always happens around us. So as we all know that dogs and cats have a special position in our society, so they get pampered all the time, but people will forget about all the other animals, so that's important. That was important for us to point that out on the brochure. And also, what's also very important to us was to create a Canada-specific flyer that points out statistics of what happens in Canada, so how many animals get slaughtered unnecessarily each year in Canada. Usually, when people receive flyers on the street, especially here in Canada, they're from America, so these they don't really represent what happens in Canada. Mm-hmm. And then people will probably say, oh yeah, but this doesn't apply to Canada. In Canada, everything is much different, but that's not the case, as we know. And it's good to see, it's good for people to see how many animals get killed in Canada, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you have anything to add, Danielle?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that this started by us creating first another flyer that was called Animal Friends, that we had the similar idea as Carolyn, where you put the documentaries in there and you say, where do I go from here and why do we love one and eat the other? And we wanted to combine the message of health. So the Canadian dietitian or the dietitians of Canada recommend a vegan or plant-based diet for all stages of life. We also wanted to add the whole cowspiracy statistics on how it affects our environment, speciesism, and just combine this in a flyer. And same goes for me. When I'm somewhere and someone starts a conversation, I always have flyers in my backpack, and this is how it usually goes. And also, sorry, in the animal one, we also have entertainment. And then we are doing a vegan outreach, so an earthling screening this Sunday on the 25th, where we're showing earthlings on our screens. And this is specifically a prior to Thanksgiving, so we thought we needed a flyer that we could hand out that's about compassion and don't celebrate violence. And then we started to create this where we're specifically featuring like turkeys on the back. And then also a holiday one, which we're going to combine with another street earthling screening and then hand these out.
Right on. Right on. So what has you've handed a few of these out already, yeah? So yeah. What kind of reception have you gotten?
A few thousand, right?
Yeah, well, the first order of the Animal Friends was 10,000.
Wow.
And now we have a Kickstarter to order, 5,000. It's 5,000. And now we got a Kickstarter going to order 10,000. So 5,000 for the Thanksgiving and 5,000 for the holidays. And so we've handed already over 2,000 out of the Animal Friends. And because it's so colorful and you see a piglet or a pig and a dog in the front, people don't think it's animal rights related, and mm-hmm. they take it. I do say information on helping animals, and people take it.
And we also wanted to show people that it's cool to be vegan, and you don't have to give anything up. So right. There, you know, we try to include products, and especially for the Thanksgiving brochure, we try to include recipe ideas and pictures of really nice food and cheese and stuff like that. So people usually have the idea that if you are on a plant-based diet, that you only eat salads and yeah. Some choke even and say you only eat grass, but that's clearly
twigs occasionally.
Yeah, exactly. But so that's clearly not the case, and so we try to appeal to on that level to people as well, so that they know now that you can have a fantastic Thanksgiving without killing animals for it.
Right on. So you've got a Kickstarter campaign going on. Do you want to talk a little bit more about that and let listeners know how they can help you continue with this campaign?
So if you go to Kickstarter and search for Animal Rights Holiday Brochure, you will find the Kickstarter campaign, and we're trying to raise $700 Canadian dollars for the printing costs. Basically, there's nothing else. We found a really great deal to get them printed. So you get there's several stages of perks. So it depends. For instance, if you decide to contribute with $20, you will receive 200 flyers. Like you will receive 100 Thanksgiving flyers and 100 Christmas or holiday flyers.
Right on. And yeah, you know, if anyone's wondering, what am I going to do with 200 flyers? You know, I'm not going to, you know, if you don't go out leafleting on a regular basis, these are great things to just bring with you, leave at the dentist's office, waiting rooms, right, pin up on the board in the supermarkets and everything. You can put them everywhere.
And we also didn't make them year specific, so they'll be good for next year as well. But hey, I want them out. I want them everywhere. So, and it's good for family and friends just to leave around because there's always conversations about this. And we're already actually, we've already funded $550 out of the 700. So we just need 150 to go.
Wow.
Yeah, so let's get this done.
Congratulations on that. That's awesome.
So we have a link to the Kickstarter campaign on our website at animalvoices.org. The show notes for today. I've also posted it on our Facebook page this week, Animal Voices Vancouver. And if you like this idea, I encourage you to go on there and contribute what you can. And they do really have, I know you have a really good deal. I know what printing costs and you have an awesome deal. So this money will go a really long way. Thank you so much, Bernie and Daniela, for sharing with us your activism. And I know you're always doing stuff. So we'll have you back another time too to share more. Thank you so much for that. And now we have some news.
Yes, south of our Canadian border, the Bureau of Land Management, their National Horse and Bureau Advisory Board, announced last week its intention to slaughter 45,000 wild horses currently held in their short and long-term government holding facilities throughout the United States. And then they changed their mind. So, the BLM has been rounding up, this is a bit of a backstory, and removing wild horses and burros from their natural habitat for the last 20 years. Who knew? So that privately owned cattle could graze on the land for profit. Now, apparently, the BLM spends an estimated $49 million a year to maintain these captive animals. So it's getting a bit expensive for them, and they decided that they were going to simply kill all the animals so that they didn't have to feed them anymore. So the idea was to kill these animals so that they could raise animals to kill. Let that sink in for a minute. Yeah. And so, in fact, this has really just been the final straw for many activists who, you know, immediately upon hearing about the announcement, took to their keyboards and their pens and signed petitions and wrote letters to their government representatives and also to the BLM itself, to the extent that the board has reconsidered and pulled its decision to cull. So, you know, once again here, we really have the power of activism and social media and this news spreading like wildfire and then being able to have this position reversed within days, basically. So if you think that, I always want to stress that if you think that your voice, one voice doesn't matter, your voice is never alone when it's added to the voices of so many other activists around the world. We really do influence public policy and create better lives for animals. So we need to keep up the pressure. And certainly, I don't think this is going to go away because this is a very expensive problem. And so they might try to do something behind the scenes. I don't know, but we all need to be vigilant. And Shauna, you had a question about that or a comment?
Not a question, just a comment. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to also say that it wasn't just activists that were speaking out. It was other mm-hmm. people because it was horses that were involved and those are pets to us. So, mm-hmm. you know, without their support, it wouldn't have happened just with the support of the activists. So I thought that was really great, but I really hope the exposure for why the horses were being killed is now pointed out to non-vegans mm-hmm. so that they're, you know, like, oh, right, like, they're being killed because we need to eat beef. We shouldn't be eating beef anymore. And I hope that that was a positive outcome for what actually happened.
Exactly. I really hope that raises consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of killing animals in the name of killing more animals, there was a story on CBC News this week about a BC dairy farmer who was charged with killing four grizzly bears. And this BC farmer There is no statement from the farmer in anything that I read, but the general thing is that farmers have some sort of right to some degree to kill wild animals in order to protect livestock, and they're allowed to do that to some degree. But this is a big fuss because grizzly bears are threatened, and this was 4 bears, including 3 cubs, I believe. And this is in a place called Dunster, BC, and yeah, you know, it's kind of absurd, isn't it? You know, we need to protect these animals until they are no longer profitable to us, and then we can just kill them. And as long as we're making money, then it's acceptable, right? So it's pretty absurd. But speaking of the dairy industry, you had another story about them this week.
I do indeed, and it's not a happy story for sure. Inspection documents obtained through Freedom of Information revealed that more than 1 in 4 BC dairy farms failed to comply with a provincial code of practice related to animal welfare during an 18-month period. And Post Media News obtained the inspection reports just over 2 years after the release of the undercover video at the Chilliwack dairy operation in 2014. And a lot of people were shocked about that. And these new guidelines were adopted October 1st, 2014, detailing appropriate care of dairy cattle and a system for inspections to ensure farmers' compliance. Now, the BC Milk Marketing Board reports cover the first 18 months of the program from January 1st, 2015 to June 30th, 2016, and show that 20 of the 73 farms, or 27%, required corrective action. After on-site inspections, about 10% were still not compliant on a follow-up inspection. So although inspectors did not find any cases similar to those of Chilliwack farm sales, a review of inspection reports shows a wide range of animal welfare issues that farmers need to address. And electric prods, are supposed to be used sparingly. It was is found that these were used much more than they should have been. Penalties for bad farmers can potentially range from being excluded from a share of future industry-wide increases in milk quota to cancellation of quality bonuses to an outright ban on milk sales. The BC Milk Marketing Board and BC Dairy Association are meeting this fall to discuss other options for achieving 100% compliance. Now, the thing that really gets me about all of this is that 1 out of 4, or even greater than 1 out of 4, are not complying. But these farmers have in every instance notification that the inspectors are coming to the farm. So they have noticed that they need to clean up their act before the inspectors get there. And they can't even do that.
Yeah, in that story I read that even with that notice, this percentage didn't comply. And can you imagine if they hadn't had the notice, how many of them wouldn't have complied? Isn't that crazy?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's scary.
So, yeah, there we have that. And I think that that's very disheartening. And, it's just, when I was reading this, this news about this, apparently it's common enough for cows to get their tail. Now, the docking of tails is now prohibited, but cows getting their tails caught in machinery on the farm and having their tails ripped off in whole or in part. Just think about that for a moment.
Yeah.
So.
Well, on a more cheerful note, SeaWorld stocks are tanking, so that's nice.
And they continue to
Let's
go down.
They're continuing to go down. This week we discovered that the value of SeaWorld's dividends has plummeted 53% from 21 cents to 10 cents today. And SeaWorld has announced that they are going to suspend payouts to their current shareholders. So
yay.
That's cool.
Well, I wouldn't want to be a shareholder if I needed some money, yeah. Right?
They're,
And why is this all? What is it because of?
Well, this is, a lot of people say that this right. has started because of the documentary Blackfish, which came out a few years ago, and it educated a lot of people on the absurd practice of, or why it is so absurd and cruel to keep orcas or, you know, whales, dolphins in captivity. So they've been losing a lot of business, and because of that documentary, because of people speaking out, and because of people beginning to care about about animals in captivity. So that's good news. Shauna, did you have a comment?
I was actually just going to ask the same question as Allison.
So. Oh, yeah.
So my plug is that we all have to look at and support independent animal rights journalism. And because these documentary filmmakers do not have big ag and big business funding them. Mm-hmm. So when we hear about these things, whether it be through a Kickstarter program or, you know, whatever the case might be, we need to get behind it with our voices and our dollars and, right, and promote these films.
Well, thank you so much for the news. You are listening to Animal Voices here on 100.5 FM CFRO Vancouver Co-op Radio in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Now, today, as I mentioned, we have our guest co-hosts here today, Sinead Sanders and Shauna Smith. And what I like to do when new people join the show is to have them come on the show to share with us their stories, basically the way that, you know, they grew up and what influenced them throughout their lives to follow a life that led them to living a life of veganism or a life of compassion, as we can call it. And I really feel that people listening can really be inspired by hearing these stories. I love hearing stories. It's the human experience, right? And we can only learn from one another by hearing each other's stories. So today we have Sinead, who's going to start with telling us your story. So we don't have this rehearsed or anything, but basically start from, I guess I would say, just start from the beginning. How did it all start for you, like growing up as a child?
Well, I was pretty lucky because I was raised primarily vegetarian. So it was easier for me to make the transition myself. But at the same time, you know, I was raised actually pescatarian. Technically, both my parents fed me fish, but one day when I was a kid, then I noticed my mom wasn't eating the fish, and she was feeding me and my sister the tuna salad, but she wasn't eating any. And I said, "So, why aren't you eating the fish?" And she said, "Well, because I don't believe in killing animals for food if we don't have to." And I just sort of went, "Oh my God, why are you feeding me this?" Which right. I think she was doing because she knew that my dad was feeding us fish over at his place, and she was just trying to make sure that we were getting everything we needed, et cetera, et cetera. And she's actually celiac as well. So there's, you know, other sorts of dietary stuff going on in the house. But I stopped eating fish when I was a kid because of that. And then, so I was a vegetarian until I was 20. And
how old are you now?
I'm 28 now. So okay. It's been, so I'm almost at 8 years. But yeah, I read a book called Do Animals Have Rights by Allison Hills, I believe is the name of the author. And it really just broke down on all the arguments. Feels like more of a philosophy book than an animal rights book. And so it was interesting how it broke everything down. And as soon as she starts describing the dairy industry and the egg industry and what happens, and she's going, okay, so if it causes suffering and it's not necessary, then can it be considered ethical? And my answer to that has always been no, because, you know, I'm just going, oh God, like I can simply no longer justify this. So I read that book, and my boyfriend at the time was actually leaning pretty strongly toward veganism. So Chad, who listens to the show, hi Chad. So I had started thinking about it, but it was when I read that book that I just sort of went, okay, I need to stop with the eggs and dairy and you know, everything else extended. And it was a transition over about 6 or 8 months. You know, it was like, okay, I'm gonna stop eating this kind of cheese, but you know, the occasional slice of pizza is okay, and like, okay, no more pizza, but you know, the occasional ice cream is okay. But you know, then you sort of quickly realize that oh, I don't actually have to live off salad and smoothies and twigs or whatever, you know. And you realize there's actually a lot to eat. So I started getting really excited about it, and I'm cooking all this stuff, And yeah, just getting into it. And the more, of course, you read about the issues, the more you realize how urgent it is, urgent these issues are for animals and for the planet and human health as well. There's some pretty gross things that go on with animal products. So yeah, then, you know, you want to get involved with the activism, and, or at least I did. And yeah, that's pretty much how it went.
Sinead, did you have a vegan moment where it was the last, where you knew it was the last piece of pizza, or was it kind of a month later, oh, I haven't had a piece of pizza for a month, I guess I'm a vegan? Did you discover it, or did you intend it in the moment?
Well, I feel like the vegan moment probably happened after, when I was reading that book and I went, okay, I officially feel like I need to change what I'm doing here, because I don't feel justified to continue like this. And then as I was doing the transition thing, you know, the last piece of pizza, actually, I was walking down Commercial Drive one night with a friend who was in town, and it had been a few months. I was sort of like, oh, okay, you know, he stopped for a slice of pizza late at night, nothing else was open. And I went, okay, sure, I'll get a slice of pizza too. It'll be one of my last ones, like, big deal, whatever, you know. And I ate it, and I threw it up in the garbage
and
can.
That's when you knew.
within a couple blocks. I just, like, that's the thing a lot of people don't realize. They go, oh, well, here, just have a bite, you know, you want to. And it's like, I don't associate this with just the taste of cheese anymore. I associate this with where it comes from. And that just makes me sick to my stomach just thinking about that, on top of whatever biological things might come into play now that it's been 8 years since I've consumed dairy on any sort of a regular basis. So
your body revolted.
Yeah.
It's like when the body says no.
Yeah. And I never know how much of it is, you know, to do with biology. I think a lot of it is psychological at this point. Sure. I just eat it. I see the animals in the farms and I just feel all that suffering and how unnecessary it is. And it's just really uncomfortable. And, you know, it's like, I'd rather eat something else.
Would you say that what I'm hearing is that when you started to make this transition, that you have, would you say that your awareness is constantly growing and therefore your compassion?
Yeah, well, absolutely. And, you know, you learn stuff all the time, all these, you know, you learn different things about animals, and humans in general are just learning more and more about animals, even though, you know, hundreds of years ago, then you could probably have talked to a human and there would be humans who would acknowledge that animals have feelings, you know, but there are all these things happening all the time that are just opening people's eyes further and further. And and as you were saying before with earthlings, you know, it's hard to do, it's hard to take, but it's really empowering once you accept it and decide, I can change and I can make a difference to these individuals and to the planet and to myself, you know?
For sure. And I want to talk a bit about your challenges, because I know that you have housemates that don't share the same views as you. So what I mean, I can't even imagine. Well, I refuse to live in a situation like that anymore because I feel like I'm too old for that. But I understand people have roommates. What's your situation like?
Well, it's all right. This is the first time that I've actually lived in a house with people who are cooking meat on any sort of a regular basis. So it's unusual, but I, you know, it's and I used to think I could never stand it. And it's not, you know, it's not easy. I'm not saying, oh, it's fine, but, you know, but my housemates, they listen, and it's interesting because, you know, you say they don't share the same views, and I feel like, you know, that's they do share some of the same views. They just, you know, not everybody's thought about this stuff before. Not everyone's had that moment, and a lot of the information is really hidden. And as we all know over here, you know, it's, you know, there are a lot of people who put a lot of money into hiding a lot of this information. So you know, you gotta treat your housemates with compassion as well. You know, like, you, uh, I've I've been busy, so I haven't been cooking a lot, but I keep thinking to myself, that's what I need to be doing, is because, you know, people, friends of mine, my housemates, they want to make a difference, and they don't want to be perpetuating all this stuff, but they don't know where to start. So that's where it comes into play, where, yeah, you got to be compassionate with people and help them, and just, you know, show people that you can be happy and well fed, mm-hmm. and not perpetuate all this awful stuff that's associated with animal agriculture.
Shauna, I would like to hear your story. So having heard Sinead's, I'm wondering if you find any similarities, and I'm wondering how it started for you. How did you grow up as a child viewing animals?
My story is actually the complete opposite of Sinead's. I actually grew up in a really meat-heavy household. My parents are South African, and like the diet there is meat and potatoes. And I actually was, just to give you an idea of the disconnect I grew up with, I would eat 6 to 8 pieces of bacon a day. My mom had to hide it from me because it was so bad. I first heard of veganism when I was 20 years old. I dated one, and I...
That's a similarity, 20. How old are you now?
I haven't been vegan since I was 20, but it's when I first found out about it. I'm 25. I went vegan about six months ago. But I didn't know what veganism was. I'd never heard of it. And when he told me, I thought he was crazy. But out of respect, I went vegetarian while we were dating. And when we broke up, I went back to eating meat again. And it wasn't about until 2 years ago when I really discovered the plant-based lifestyle. And I say plant-based because if I had gone vegan 2 years ago, I never would have gone back, because there's a complete difference between plant-based and veganism. Mm-hmm. I was having serious health issues. I had like major stomach issues. I'd actually given up milk when I was 21 years old because I actually couldn't digest it. And one day I was like really sick home from work, and I decided to watch some Netflix, and Veggiecated came up as a suggestion.
And you got Veggiecated.
Yeah, I mean, and I thought it was kind of funny, the synopsis, because it was like, oh, 6 non-vegans go vegan for 6 weeks. I'm like, this is going to be hilarious. And my sister was home studying, so she watched it with me as well, and she went instantly plant-based and then vegan. She's now approaching her 3-year anniversary. So good for her. So I went vegan or plant-based for about 8 months, but other than my sister, I didn't have any type of support. I didn't have any education on the subject, and I felt really isolated from my friends, my family, and also my boyfriend. So I ended up going back to eating meat, and I tried to only eat it while I was eating out and only cook plant-based when I was at home. And then a year later, I moved to Mexico for about 6 months, and I, ate a lot of meat and a lot of dairy. I gained a lot of weight, about 25 pounds, actually. And when I came back to Vancouver, I was really, really sick, and I knew that something needed to change. So I decided that I was going to, rip the Band-Aid off and watch everything. So I watched, I watched Earthlings, I watched The Cove, Forks Over Knives, Blackfish, Veggiecated again, Confessions of an Eco-Terrorist, Cowspiracy, and I made the ethical connection, and I went full vegan. And since then, I've been happier and more proud than I ever have, living and being an advocate for animals. It's the thing that I never knew I had as a passion, and I never had a passion growing up until now. So I just can't think of anything that's more rewarding than being a vegan.
I have so many questions for you. Can you stay after the show?
Sure.
I think we need to have a little chit-chat.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm always so interested in the vegan moment, and I understand you were plant-based and then you switched over. Mm-hmm. As a person who is always talking about films and education, mm-hmm. I want to know in there what your vegan moment was. Where did you really, which of these films and why?
I think the most effective film was, of course, Earthlings. But
did you watch that first?
I didn't actually watch that first. That was the
Veggiecated.
Order I said. I watched Veggiecated first.
Sorry, you just said that.
I think maybe Blackfish was maybe my second one, and then Earthlings might have been my fifth documentary that I watched. But
was it The Deal Closer?
No, that day I was like, oh, that was really like graphic, but for me, I'm really good at compartmentalizing things in my mind. So
as is most of society.
Yeah,
yes.
I'm
just,
it's very easy for me to, you know, like ignore something. My vegan moment was actually, I was on a road trip with my boyfriend and his friend and his girlfriend, and we were driving out near Chilliwack, and there was all these cows, and I was like looking at them, and I was like tearing up, and I was like trying to hide it from them because I was the one that was driving, but I was so heartbroken because I was looking at them, and like at this time I was not eating any meat, but we went out for dinner later that night, and we went to the Olive Garden, which but actually has no vegan options, in case anyone was wondering, unless you wanted a salad without any salad dressing. And
here's some iceberg lettuce.
So I think I got a pasta, and it was a vegetarian pasta, and I think it was like a tomato cream based sauce or something like that. And I had like one bite and I went to the bathroom and threw up. And
so here's another similarity. There's been vomiting involved in both of your stories.
And then that night I was like, no, I'm vegan. I'm not ever eating meat or dairy again or any animal byproducts. Okay.
So you think it was a combination of seeing the all that information and then seeing the cows and making the connection. Yeah. And then your body said no. Mm-hmm. So your head and your body were actually communicating with each other.
Exactly. And you know, like, it makes me sad sometimes when I think about how I went plant-based and then I went back to it. And I never want that to happen to me again. So in order for me to keep doing it, I do things like this where I'm involved with the community. I actually watch vegan YouTube channels on a daily basis. Every single day when I wake up, I watch it while I'm getting ready for work. Wow. I go to work so that I'm constantly thinking about it.
Can you recommend some YouTube channels?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a huge fan of The Vegan Couple because I feel like they put out a really positive message. And they just know how to, you know, go about doing things without attacking people. And I really appreciate that. I also like The Vegan Activist. I know Frilly is really controversial, but she turns a lot of people vegan. So I do watch her sometimes. And I'm a huge fan of Kate Flowers recently. She is a raw vegan. And she's very interesting. She has really good content. So I like it mainly for diet, but I like her stuff as well. So, yeah. But Vegan Couple for sure is my daily thing.
My sister loves The Vegan Couple, and the vegan female part of the couple, she's pregnant. Did you know that?
I thought that he was sterile.
Oh, no, controversy. Okay, I'll get you connected with my sister. She knows everything. That's all I know. Okay, so definitely want to continue this conversation with you at another point because we've got some other stuff to talk about. But I wanted to give some time to talk about, I was thinking like this conversation really fits in with a new film that came out earlier this year called Vegan Everyday Stories, where it's an hour and a half that covers the stories and the lives of different people that have gone vegan. So again, people can connect with them. Now, did everyone here do their homework and watch the movie this week?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Sinead watched 20 minutes.
I watched 20 minutes and then I went camping.
And I watched it twice.
Yeah. Caroline, I did not ask you to watch it twice, but Caroline is a little
OCD. Yeah. Okay. In all the best ways.
I watched on the bike yesterday. Don't ask me how I did that. I have to say there was one point where I had tears streaming down my eyes on the bike in the gym. So, yeah. What were some highlights for you? What would you say for you, Shauna?
You know, I really liked Renee, but not just Renee. Like,
Renee King Sonnen. I always get her name mixed up.
Her husband had a cattle farm, and they recently turned it into an animal sanctuary. But it wasn't actually Renee that stood out to me. Like, that's great for her. It was actually her husband that stood out to me.
Oh, me too. Yeah. He's my favorite character.
Because you know what? Character. Like, for those of you who haven't seen the movie, like, he is a fourth generation cattle farmer, and he turned this farm into an animal sanctuary for his wife, essentially.
Well, she had to buy the cows from him, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, it was his property and it's his legacy that he gave up, and he's creating a new legacy, and that's just very admirable. I'm not sure if he's vegan or not. It wasn't mentioned in the movie, but I just thought that was, you know, a little bit amazing that he could give up four generations of cattle farming for the woman that he loves and to do a better thing for the world of tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You know, that was just so amazing to watch.
Yeah.
So
he was my great inspiration in the story as well. And I love his character. And I also really loved the little girl,
Genesis.
Oh, yeah.
Who said to her mother when she was just 3 years old, "Where do these chicken nuggets come from that you're feeding me?"
And you would and think of saying that. Like,
Genesis.
I always say I was like mindless when I was a kid. I didn't have any thoughts of my own. This little girl has thoughts of her own.
Absolutely.
For sure.
And she is a force to be reckoned with, let me tell you. And she and her mother decided to tell her the truth, so good for her. And that was the end of that. I think they went vegan that day. And this little girl, now you met this little girl in this film at the animal rights conference.
I actually met Renee.
Oh, okay.
I got a selfie with her. I didn't actually get a chance to talk to Genesis, but she was definitely there a lot and she went to the animal rights conference with her brother too. And there were the kids there and they were very active in participating in the workshops, which was really cool just to kind of see her doing her thing and very outspoken. Like they have thoughts and they have opinions. And they are sharing these thoughts and opinions throughout the world in their communities.
She's a role model to
she
adults.
Is. And she's only
to everyone.
Eight. She's
and
only
now
eight.
On her first day of school, she went as a,
she
as
has
a
no
child.
Fear. She,
no,
has
she has no fear.
Yeah.
And we have so much to learn for that. On the first day of her school, she went with an animal rights t-shirt on. And she said the kids teased her and rubbed hot dogs in her face. And
on her face.
On her face, yes. And then her mother came home and she said, "Did that make you cry?" And she said, "Yes." And she said, "Well, why were you crying? Were you crying because of yourself, because you were bullied?" And she said, "No, I cried because of the suffering of the animals," or something to that effect.
Yeah, she said that the kids didn't know the suffering they were causing, and that made her sad.
Mm. So just think of the empathy, the level of empathy that this young child has at that point, that she... You know, she felt, I think, sorry for, she had compassion for the kids and she had compassion for the animals. And that is just is her tremendous great strength. She's out there leafleting. She's out there educating people.
Yeah.
She's out there public speaking.
Yeah. She goes to protests. She asks her mom, "Let's go to this protest. Let's go to this one." She's very active in the community and she's an outstanding example as to what, I mean, for any parents out there. I would only want to have kids if I could raise them to be like Genesis, right? Like outstanding role models for young people in this society. So this has been a great chat, but we are at the end of the show here.
How does that happen? We need a 2-hour show.
Next time. We'll do it again. You have been listening to Animal Voices on 100.5 FM, CFRO, Co-op Radio in Vancouver, Canada. Please join us on our next show next Friday, September the 30th. Jen will be producing that show. She'll be having Ellie Lax on the show from the Gentle Barn to speak about her animal sanctuary. She's got one in Tennessee and one in LA, and speaking about animal agricultural systems. And also they have an outreach program that they use for children who are in need of creating connection with animals and bringing back their compassion. And she'll also be doing, Jen will be doing a Q&A of common misconceptions on veganism. So we here at Animal Voices want to connect with you online. Animalvoices.org is where you can stream shows or download the shows as podcasts. You can read our show blog there with detailed links and subscribe to us via iTunes. Also, send us your suggestions and comments about the show at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com. And something we didn't even get into today is Sinead, which we might have mentioned before, is a talented musician. And so to end today's show, we're going to be playing one of your songs, Sinead. What song is it? Can you tell us a bit about it?
It's a song called Dogs in the Yard. It's the first track off the CD that I made this year. It's just a solo acoustic CD. And it's probably the most topical for this show. It was inspired by just the idea that we are animals and we are not the only animals on the planet. And animals are individuals, not objects. They got voices and we just need to listen to them.
Stay tuned for Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith. Thank you so much for listening to Animal Voices today. And remember to be kind to the animals.
Take a thick or too much, or tie the head too long. Say that don't add a much when it's a put in place. The world's gonna move on without you anyway. A head down in the yard, there was when it's off, and though your man stopped the window, there was nothing but waking reality. It's a fireball, all they want to know. Just open your eyes, everything you're taking. Everything. everything you take it. You got it down when you're up. You got it up when you're down. It's so easy to let yourself get spun around. How you enjoy everything, no other creature can. And it'll feel any pain, not by your happy end. Not by your happy end. Not by your happy head. Dogs in the yard, there was any time. Though your man stopped the window, they'll not go again. The truth ain't so far, those all they want to know. Stop in your eyes, everything can take it. Everything can take it. And the things that go bump in the night, they all really just part of the